Hello everyone, hope you're doing very fine today. I am welcoming you officially to today's episode on the Moment of Truth with D Debunking Doctor 3D, and I'm your host 3D. Well, I should apologize actually for not being around last week. It was me taking a break. You know, sometimes you need to just relax and take some time off, just to recharge, you know, to think on how best to proceed with different things. And that was what I had to do last week. I had to put up a notice about that on my WhatsApp page, but I realized that not all my listeners are on my WhatsApp page. So I'm sorry if I disappointed you last week. You know, you were not notified, you had no idea I was not going to release an episode, and then you waited for it and it never came. I'm so sorry about that. I thought I should apologize about that. And how is the weather treating you there? Well, right here in Nigeria, in my location in Nigeria, it is raining every day. Sometimes actually, like 5 or 6 times every day. You know, it comes and then it goes, and then there's a downpour again, and then it's gone, and then it comes again. But then it's been really beautiful. I mean, the atmosphere is so cool. Helps you to, you know, put your thoughts together. You know, it's not so hot. You're not entering the bathroom 50 times in a day just so you can keep your sanity. Okay, so I think I like it this way. All right then, I'll just go straight into today's episode. And today's episode is the beginning of a series. I had to make it a series because I know it's going to be a long one. And no, I do not want to bore you with very long stories, okay? I understand that. I need to make it shorter so that you can keep up with the episode to the end. Okay, and this is by popular demand. I had to really think on this, you know, before starting it. And it is on vaginal health. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, right? Okay, so I'm going to target the vaginal care series, right? So I'm going to be bringing in different things, different experiences that I've had on the wards in the hospital as it relates to the vagina and its care. As long as you can, you know, comprehend whatever I say, then this is for you, regardless of your gender, male or female. Okay, I would that you should be an adult to listen to it so that you can understand what I'm saying, and then you can communicate that to your children, okay, or to the younger ones around you. So let's begin the vaginal care series in 1 minute. Welcome, welcome, welcome from that very short break. And just so before I go into the details of today's episode, I'd like to quickly chip in something about the 9th month of the year, September. September has been tagged the month of increasing awareness about childhood cancer. The meaning of that is actually to tell people that cancers do not just occur in adults or the elderly people. Children too can have cancers. You know, sometimes actually, I really wish that stories in medicine are not so sad. If it's possible, I'm sure doctors would not want to talk about cancers at all, especially cancers in children. That's quite sad, right? But then when we talk about increasing awareness, it is geared towards prevention first. And you know, we need to have the knowledge about these things for us to prevent them in the first place. That's the first thing. Okay, so when we talk about increasing awareness about something, we're hoping to help you get the knowledge to prevent these problems, that is, prevent childhood cancers, for the preventable ones. And then the second, of course, is to help with immediate or early diagnosis, because usually when it comes to cancer or any health issue at all, when they are picked early, they are better managed. Okay, we call it prognosis in medicine. It means that they have better prognosis when they are picked early. Okay, so when we talk about awareness of these things, in this case childhood cancer, it is not to scare anybody or to come and tell a bad story. It is only so that you can know these things actually exist, and then you can be equipped, armed with the right information and knowledge to help your bundle of joy, to help, you know, your children to live really healthy lives, and for you to be deliberate about making those decisions. And yes, to increase that awareness, a gold ribbon is worn throughout that month. So in case you've been seeing some people, you know, attach gold ribbons to their blouses, their shirts, it is just to increase the awareness about childhood cancers. The other very important thing about September and the awareness about the childhood cancer is that we are expected to send love and light to people, okay, the children with cancer, those that are still fighting it, the parents, relatives, you know, of children that are fighting cancer, and the great heroes that had perhaps, you know, lost the battle, or the ones that have won the battle, really. You know, September is the time to send our love to them, to send them kisses and hugs, pray for them, and show them lots of love, because you know that goes a long way to help them go through that season, to help them go through this period. And so in line with that, I, the debunking doctor, I am sending lots of my love and light the way of every child that is fighting cancer right now. To their parents, to their supporters, I'm saying you're strong. God bless you very much. And I'm saying, hey, hero, you're strong, you're beautiful, and you're greatly loved. Okay? I will be praying for you. And I'm sure that there are so many other people that will also be praying for you. Well, we hope that you recover soon and that you live the very best of your life. I am not going to go into the detail of that. It's just to, you know, chip that in so that we can have an understanding of the month that we're going through as it relates to health and as it affects us in the health sector. Okay, now I'll just go straight into today's episode, and that is the vaginal care series. And I'm going to begin with the normal. When we know the normal thing, it's a lot easier to know the abnormal thing. It's a lot easier to recognize the abnormal thing. And that is why on this series, this vaginal care series, I'm going to begin with what is normal. Okay, so that when the abnormal thing comes, you can make the right decisions about them. And you don't start to run around for the normal things, thinking that they're abnormal. Okay, so let me begin with this. The female private part. Right, that's what we call it in this part of the world. The genitals are also called the private parts in Africa. Well, in Nigeria, I may not be able to tell what they call it elsewhere in Africa, but in Nigeria, we call it the private parts. For the female, it is called the vagina. For the male, it is called the penis. Those parts are private because they're supposed to be yours, solely yours. And they should be kept away from public views, right? Okay, so for every young person that is listening to me right now, your private part is termed private for a reason. It is termed private because it is your own. Whoever meddles with that is already trespassing, is already passing boundaries, and you should not keep quiet if any of that happens to you. Whoever that is, either your uncle, your brother, your stepbrother, your teacher, whoever meddles with, whoever plays with your private part is evil and should be reported immediately. Okay, so having said that, I'm just going to go into the very detail of this episode. You know, I called it the vaginal care series, so I am going to be giving details about the female's private part, the vagina. So to begin, the female private part is divided basically into two. The part that is outside, okay, the one that you can actually see, is what we call the vulva. That is not the vagina. It is called the vulva, the part that can be seen outside. And then there is an opening around there that leads into the vagina. And then remember that there's another where you urinate from. Okay, so there are two openings on the vulva. One you urinate with, that's the one we wee-wee with, right? Just to make it clear. And then there is the bigger opening where we menstruate from, right? It's the vagina. and then it leads all the way in until it reaches the neck of the womb, and that is what we call the cervix. Okay, so the vagina is not what you see outside, it is actually the opening that goes all the way in. That is the vagina. So to make it clear, the vulva is the part that we see outside, okay, that we can easily touch, that our undies interact with directly. The vagina is the opening, that's the bigger opening that leads up into the neck of the womb, and that is where we menstruate from. We have in our mouth, we have in our ears, we have on our tongues, we have on the surface of our teeth, on our gum, we have within the vagina. Well, remember that I said that today's episode is first of all going to be established. So what I'm going to be doing now is to establish the normal things, the facts. It is important to know that every part of the human body interacts constantly with different organisms. As a matter of fact, they are in their hundreds on different parts of our body, all over our skin, everywhere. There are different types of organisms. In our mouth, have you ever wondered what causes your breath to smell? Okay, if you had not brushed perhaps to bed or something like that. Right? It is not just about food remnants being in your mouth. It's the fact that some bacteria in your mouth are breaking down the remnants of the food, and that is what is causing that not very pleasant odor when you wake up. Okay, that's an evidence of bacteria living normally. There are normal bacteria in the mouth, but then when they have something to work on, they work on it, and you know, the result might not be very pleasant. Some other time when we talk about body odor, it really is not a problem that you're sweating, but the problem is when the bacteria on the body actually breaks down the sweat. It is when that happens that the body starts to smell, and then the odor is not very pleasant. I have to say that so that I can establish the fact that there are different organisms on different parts of our body. They are normal there. We call them the normal flora in medicine. Okay, they live normally on the skin. That's where they are, and they cause no problems really. These type of organisms too are present within the vagina. I mean the normal organisms. The major work of these bacteria that are found in the vagina is to keep the place clean and keep the wrong organisms off the vagina. So the point I'm making now is that there are actually some organisms within the vagina, but they are necessary to be there. They are normally found in the vagina, and the work that they do is to keep the vagina clean and safe from organisms that may cause trouble. I hope you got that. And that drives home the point that the vagina is self-cleaning. Permit me to repeat that, my lord. The vagina is self-cleaning. It means that it does not wait for you to bring all the disinfectants in the world or the soaps and everything to make it clean. The vagina does not rely on all of those things. It only relies on good health, and it will keep itself clean. The vagina is not expected to be dry. And that, of course, is a fact that remains true for every female within the reproductive age group. Usually put at 15 to 49, okay? And that is because most of the time, almost all females would have started menstruating by 50. And then by 49, a good number of females would have stopped menstruating. It is important to know that, you know, the age of menstruation is now kind of earlier than what it used to be. So sometimes females at the age of 10, 11, 12 could have started menstruating, okay? And then it seems that the age of menopause is, you know, becoming earlier too. So people are no more getting to their 50s before reaching menopause. People in their 40s, in their mid-40s, are now, you know, becoming menopausal. The significance of that is that for every female that has hit puberty, that has started menstruating, that is still menstruating, that is yet to hit menopause, all of this group of females should not have dry vagina. Okay? It means that that is what we call the normal vaginal discharge. I would like to reiterate that there is what we call the normal vaginal discharge. Okay, so what does the normal vaginal discharge look like? What is the characteristics of the normal vaginal discharge? It can be colorless to whitish. It does not have any strong offensive odor, and it does not itch. It can be of considerable amount at different stages of the menstrual cycle. The meaning is that, you know, the amount that is produced or that you feel may differ as the month roll by. It does not just because the discharge from your vagina has increased then you have an infection. No, it does not always mean that. Vaginal discharge is also dependent on the hormonal changes in the body as it relates to your menstrual cycle. So at different times, the amount might become more. Sometimes you may even feel the wetness. It does not always mean that you have an infection. The point I'm just making is that at different times in your menstrual cycle, the amount of normal vaginal discharge produced fluctuates. It means it can change from, you know, minimal to quite an amount. But it does not always mean that you have an infection. So I need you to take note of that. And remember, the characteristics that I mentioned earlier could be clear to white, does not have any strong or offensive smell, and it does not itch. Okay, so if this discharge that you're seeing, although a little bit much, has all of these characteristics that I've mentioned, then most likely you're fine. There is no problem. So I'm just going to highlight some things that you need to do to maintain that adequate environment and normalcy down there. The first thing that I'm going to mention is good food. Somebody is saying, how does good food affect my vagina? Yes, it affects every part of your body. And of course, the private part is also a part of the body. Okay, so you expect that to take good amount of water, take lots of fruits and vegetables, take really healthy things. All of those things will translate to put your body in good health. Okay, just like someone once said that, you cannot take out the effect of the food you eat on the growth of your hair, the growth of your nails, the color of the smoothness of your skin or the freshness of your skin. No, all of those things actually take one or two things from the food you eat to remain what they are. So you cannot take away the effect of the food you eat, even when it comes to your vaginal care. That's first of all. The second actually is exercising. Oh yes, exercises also help to keep, yes, the entire body healthy, and yes, the vagina healthy. That's the second. The third thing that you need to pay attention to is to keep off perfumed soap. Okay, remember that I said that there are actually normal bacteria within the vagina that are keeping it cool, calm, and collected. By the time you bring the soap, was still a perfumed one, into the vagina in a bit to wash it, you would only end up washing out the good bacteria. And what you do in that sense is that you favor the growth of the not very good bacteria. And what happens thereafter is that you start to scratch, the vaginal discharge color may change, and you may start feeling uneasy down there. The vagina settles itself. All that you have to do are the things that are highlighted. The other things that I'll also want to mention is that you should clean your vulva. You still remember my description of a vulva? Okay, that's the area outside the vagina. You know, the area that we can easily touch. The area that relates directly with our pants and our undies. You should clean that. And even when you're cleaning that, we don't expect that you go and bring one strongly perfumed soap. You know, because you want the vagina to smell good. No. Plain, unperfumed soap should be used to wash the vulva, and it should be done gently. Okay, do it gently, wash the vulva gently. For some other people, you know, there may be gels, but you should be careful, and you should of course note the content of whatever products you're using to wash, because that matters a lot. Yes, there are actually some products that work well. Okay, and all that they do is to help to maintain those normal bacteria within the vagina. Any vulva wash that does that is good for you. For whatever reason, you should not use perfumed soap to wash even your vulva. There's another phenomenon that we call douching. Douching is about, you know, pouring different fluids up into the vagina to wash out the secretion there. it does more harm than good. There's really no need for all of that. Remember that I said the vagina is self-cleaning. So all that you do is to make sure that you stay healthy on every other ground, and it will reflect in even the health of your vagina. Because by the time you do that, you're going to wash out the normal bacteria, and then the abnormal one will start thriving. And you know, that can present with itching, you start to scratch, the vaginal discharge might start to smell, you know, and then you get uncomfortable. In that case, nobody has caused that problem. You have caused that problem by overdoing it, you know, by doing what you're not supposed to do. So sometimes more does not mean better, okay? And that is the case when it comes to the vagina. The other thing that I need to quickly mention before I finish today's episode is as it relates to the vagina and the anus. You know, those are really two close openings around our bum bum. Okay, around our perineum. That's the right word in medicine. But so, just so you can understand it, those are two openings around our bum bum. The opening where poo come out from, the opening where we defecate through, that's the anus. And then the opening where we menstruate through, that is the vagina. Right? Okay, so for those two openings that are quite close together, they have different organisms within them. Usually the vagina is referred to as clean, is seen as clean relative to the anus where we defecate from. As a matter of fact, our feces contain hundreds of organisms that, you know, we cannot even start talking about right now. Okay, so when it comes to the two holes down there, the vagina is relatively clean when we compare it to the anus. And so, at any time at all, nothing should pass from your anus to your vagina. When you go to the toilet to defecate, and then you want to clean up, it becomes important that you do not wash your bum bum, I mean your anus, some people call it anus. Okay, it becomes important that you do not wash your anus from the back. I mean pour the water from the back. Because by the time you pour the water from the back, the water is going to inevitably wash forward and then enter the vagina. Once that happens, it disrupts the balance within the vagina, and then problems start. The itching, the very plenty vaginal discharge that has changed color, the not very pleasant smell, all of that would start. Just because, not because you have done anything out of place, but because you have decided to wash your anus into your vagina. Okay, so how do you solve this problem? Remember that I said the vagina is relatively clean compared to the anus. Okay, so what you'll do is anytime you go to the toilet to defecate, you make sure that you pour the water from the front for those people that, you know, clean up with water. And if you're going to be using a tissue paper, it becomes important that you clean your anus coming from the vagina. But I mean that in a direction that is from the front to the back. Okay? Of course, there's no problem if we decide to move from a clean part to a dirty part. There's no problem. The only problem is when we decide to clean from the dirty part to the clean part, because that would mean hell for the clean part. Okay, so the point I'm making now is that regardless of what you're using to clean up, either water or tissue paper, anytime you're cleaning up after defecation as a female, what you should make sure you do is that you clean from the front to the back. Pour the water from the front to the back. Swipe the tissue paper from the front to the back and not from the back to the front. Do not pour water to clean your anus from the back to the front. Do not swipe your tissue paper from the back to the front after defecation. When you do that, you risk infecting your vagina with unpleasant organisms from the anus, and that could pose problems, you know, for the vaginal health. And of course, when we're menstruating, it becomes important that, you know, you clean the vagina more regularly. I mean that you use water to wash. And yes, I should also say that in case there is, you know, you're wondering where will I get a plain soap, blah 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 blah, use water. You don't necessarily have to use any soap at all. Just use water. Okay, and that is fine. I did not say add anything to the water. Ordinary water, preferably warm water actually, to clean your vulva. That's the outer part of your vagina. Use a clean warm water to clean it and you're fine. You don't have to go and get one big soap or, you know, one product that you cannot afford. You really do not need that. We cannot afford water, yeah? Okay, so get clean water. If you can, you know, warm it to a reasonable temperature, that is even better. Clean your vulva with that and you're good to go. Of course, for really sensitive people, white underwears are a lot better. Okay, white panties would do you well if you're that sensitive person. Okay, so you should consider that. Just so I can make things clear, actually, let me just say this. Once there's a need for you to, you know, use perfumes or start to wash over and over and over again so that you can prevent smells and all of that, then something is definitely wrong. You really would not need to do that if everything is fine. Okay, the smell from down there should not be offensive. If you have to do anything to cover up for an offensive smell, then the best really is for you to see your doctor and be fully evaluated so that whatever is causing that offensive odor will be, dealt with. And you don't necessarily have to use perfumes or overwash or use this or that to cover up the smell. I hope we get that. I'm going to stop here today because remember I said that I just want to establish the normal today and then I can build on that subsequently. Okay, so you should watch out for these episodes on this series, the vaginal care series. But I hope that you've been able to gain one or two or three or four things from today's episode and you're going to start doing them. Okay, you're going to be practical about them. That's the important thing, right? There's really no difference between someone that knows about something and does not do it and a person that does not even know about it. You agree with me, right? Okay, so to make that desired difference, as you listen, I'm happy that you're here. I'm really grateful that, you know, you're right here and you're listening to this right now. Much more is the fact that you put these things to use. That is where the difference lies. All right, then. I really wish you a very wonderful new week. A fruitful and productive new week while you stay safe.